Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I bring greetings from India and Middle East. I'm here to share our testimony before you. And once I finish that, quickly my husband will talk about the ministry that God has given us. Like Pastor said, my name is Rekha Prabhu. My husband is Pastor Prabhu Ganeshan, who's sitting there. And we have a son who's 26, working in Dubai. I was born in a Brahmin family. Bangalore, which is in India. Brahmin is a member of the highest caste in Hinduism. It's from the caste the Hindu priests are drawn. So I come from a class like that. They are responsible for teaching and maintaining sacred knowledge. Like so many of you would know, Hinduism is a classic example of polytheism and pantheism. I worshipped around 33 million gods. That's the amount of gods we as Hindus have. Too many gods. And pantheism does not have any difference between the creator and the creation. And so I have worshipped snakes, I have worshipped trees, I've worshipped cows. So this is where I come from. And while I was growing up, though I was surrounded by Christians, there was nothing that happened in my life where I looked upon them for any kind of testimony. But then it so happened when I was 17, I lost my dad, and immediately within 3 months, God gave my dear husband, or he brought him into my life, and within 3 years, we kind of fell in love and we married. But because of the caste system in India, I come from a higher class and he is not a Brahmin, and so there were issues in the family and they didn't want to get us married, but we forced them to get us married and threatened them, if you don't, then we will. And so they had to get us married. But once they got us married, they let us, or they cut loose, you know. They didn't give us anything to start a family. So it was a very humble beginning. We didn't have actually anything to start, but that is where it all began. But then eventually we started a small business. My husband started a small business. I started working as a computer science teacher in one of the good schools. So we started improving in our lives. And this business really went on well. And he had about 30 guys reporting to him. We were doing really well. But overnight, because of a technical problem in this electronics industry that he was involved with, we went through major loss. And we lost everything that we had. In fact, we didn't even have enough money for our son's milk. That is the state that we came down to. But then during that time, when we were going through such tough time, he also had an issue with his health. His entire back was frozen. He had a muscle spasm, and that was another issue. But then I used to go to work, come back, take care of him. But during that time somewhere, the Lord touched his life, because there's a history to that. When he was a teenager, he was involved with certain Christian groups. But when he got married to me, he knew this. Since I come from a Brahmin background and I hated Christians, he could not get back to Christianity. He loved me more probably than Christ. And so he just had to stay back with me. Yes, I am the culprit, and I probably got him out to backslide. Yeah, I did that. I'm guilty. Yeah, but then what happened was eventually, when we were going through that difficult time, God brought him back to his fold, and he started attending Christian meetings, and he started attending church. But I didn't have a clue, because, you know, I was anti-Christian. He never told me. But, you know, as wives, you wash their clothes, you do laundry. So I started finding some pieces of paper in his pockets, and I found that that was biblical scriptures, you know. And then I confronted him one day, because he was not bowing down before my idols. I had a temple in my house. He wasn't doing that, neither when we had these festivals. He was not partaking of those festivals. So I knew something was wrong. So I confronted him after I got these pieces of paper. And then he said, yes, I am a Christian now, and I would like to remain so. That's what he said. And my entire world fell down. I got to that extent where I said, I will divorce you if you're going to be a Christian. You know, this is what I said. But thank God for the wisdom of God in him. He struck a deal with me. He said, for a month, read my Bible. He said that. And he said, at the end of the 30 days, if God speaks to you and you think Christianity is all right, you come join me. Otherwise, fine, you could do whatever you want. So I took up that challenge. I started reading the Bible. I read for about 26 days. And meanwhile, he knew how to woo me into it. So he let me watch 10 Commandments movie. You know that Moses' movie? It was so good. And I was so in awe of all of that. And I was moving quite well, you know, reading my Bible and understanding who this God of Moses was. But he did a mistake. On the 26th or the 27th day, can't remember very well because it was way back, 1997, he said, yeah, it was the 27th day. He said, I'm going to take you to a concert. I'll pick you up after work, he said. So I was all happy, wow, concert. And then I went with him. But even as I settled down in the seats of this place, I realized it was no concert, but it was a Christian meeting. There was all this loud noise, guys with the guitars and drums and all of that. And I thought Christian music was slow, hymns and piano, grand piano. This is what was there in my mind. So when I saw all that noise and heard all the noise, and then the preacher comes up and then he goes on calling out names of people. And he says, you've been healed of your blindness and now you can hear, and cancer's leaving. You know, he was making a big noise there. And when I, coming from this entirely different background, who didn't know what was going on, I thought the whole thing was a farce, you know. I thought this is a sham, and I was very angry. I was sitting there and boiling, just waiting for the meeting to end. And when it got finished, I just walked off in a huff, and then I sat with him on the bike, and it was the longest ride, though it was 5 kilometers, because I didn't speak a word to him because I was so angry he took me to this place. So the moment I went home, you know, there's a purification law. You wash your hands and your feet. I did that, and I said, I'm not going to be a Christian. And I lit the lamp in front of my idols. And after that, we went back to sleep. And that day, there was absolute silence in the night. There was no good night, too. That is how it was. But somewhere in the middle of the night, believe me, I'm telling you the truth, there was this huge guy that walked into my bedroom. He was about 7 feet, triangular face, deep-set eyes, absolutely skinny, and he stretched forth his hand to me, and I could see the bones, you know. That is how thin he was, and he was very scary to look, and he said, "Welcome back, Rekha." Then I immediately knew this was from the demonic realm. I knew he was absolute evil. Because I was reading the Word of God for those last 26 days, and in spite of having these 33 million gods that I worshipped all my life for the last 27 years, the first word that came out of my mouth when I saw this evil was Jesus. I just jumped out and I called on the name of the Lord. And the moment I said Jesus, that thing just disappeared, you know. And that is where I gave my life to the Lord. And I said, Lord, there is no turning back, Lord. There is no turning back. Amen. A lot of people have this experience. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of people have these visitations from the Lord Jesus, but then I had this visitation from the devil, and then I turned to the Lord. Amen. That's what happened with my life. And eventually, I told you our finances were bad and we were down in the dumps. During that time, God opened a door for my husband to work in Dubai. And my son and I, we moved to Dubai within 3 months. And then God took over from then on. And I remember telling you my husband had a muscle spasm. He had a major problem to move. He was popping 3 to 6 brufens every day just to keep him walking. But during one of the home meetings in Dubai, he was miraculously healed when he partook of the Lord's communion there. And then both of us found jobs and we started to work in Dubai, and God slowly but steadily progressed us. But when we left Bangalore, we had a debt of about 1.3 million rupees. And this is in 1997, and that's a lot of money. But within 4 years of our staying in Dubai, God helped us repay every bank, every house of business. And today, within 4 years, God got us to a place we are absolutely debt-free. We owed no man a rupee. And the Lord says, as a father, you will leave inheritance to your children and your children's children. And that's where God got us, or brought us to. And that's how God has been faithful. And he continues to be faithful. And not just he lifted us up from that miry clay and the problems and the debts, but he gave us a ministry. Can you believe that? In 2001, my husband started a Bible school in Abu Dhabi, which went on for 3 years. And eventually in 2004, our first church started. Then in 2007, our church in Abu Dhabi started. 2008, our church in Hyderabad started. And 2012, our church in Dubai started. And I only want to tell you this amazing God who gave us this word. And it is true in Psalm 91, verse 15. He says, "He is with you in trouble. He delivers you and he honors you." This is what God did. Not only was he with us in the times of trouble, but he absolutely delivered us, and not just delivered us, but he honored us with his word and with his ministry. And this is the Lord we serve. Amen. Not only did he save me, but then my mom, who's 72 today, 2 years back, salvation came into my mom's life. And today she is water baptized, spirit filled. She attended a Bible school and she's an amazing mama now who knows how to pray. She has been a Brahmin 70 years of her life. And do you understand 33 million gods? Well, she was worshiping too. But then today she is a born again woman. And the same thing happened to my only brother. I had just one brother. And in 2014, he got to know the Lord. God gave us this privilege to lead him to the Lord, myself and my husband. We went and baptized both him, his wife, and the daughter. And the same evening, they were all baptized in the Spirit. And he came down to Dubai and he stayed with me for 2 months. During that time, he got to know so much of the word because he attended all the three churches and every service with me and my husband. He was so hungry for God's word. And this boy was sitting right in the front with his notebook and his pencil. And that is how he grew within those 2 months. He found a job in Dubai and he had to go back to India to get his visa. So when he was there for 3 weeks, one morning he had a massive heart attack, and even before he reached the hospital, he died on the way. You know, I was very angry with God, but you know, God's an amazing God. He has a purpose. Just for 8 months, he knew the Lord and he passed away. What if he did not know the Lord and he yet died? That would have been terrible. So I understand the plans of God, and he says, "You do not choose me, I choose you," he said. And he chose this Brahmin family, and here am I, my mom and my brother, all saved, and we're so glad that God is using us in different ways. And this is the God who we serve, and he is the Hound of Heaven. He's also an amazing father. Amen. I let my husband take over. Thank you.
Good evening. That was my wife. I think I'm already in the red light. Is it over? No? Okay, I can start. Okay. I think she said it all. More or less, that's as much as we have as a testimony right now. But before we go, as we go forward, let me introduce myself. My name is Prabhu Ganeshan. I'm a pastor. And I've got a small video to show to you so you can actually look at it. It's a small promo of the church. I believe I've heard a lot of testimonies from people who are seated here. Some of you who have shared your experiences, which are so vast, enormous. And I just sat just now with Louis. Are you here? Yeah. And she shared a lot about Malawi and thinking about all that God is doing in each one's life. I look at community church ministry is like a drop in the ocean. It's good to see this drop. Please put on the promo. That's community church. Basically it's based in John chapter 17, verse number 22. It talks about the glory being given by Jesus Christ to his children to be one. And also we refer to Psalm 133, that we can come together and be one. So community churches to come together and be one. And I believe that we are doing reasonably sound work, ethically right, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And God has helped us in the place where I started to work in Abu Dhabi. We planted a church out there and in Dubai and in Sharjah. And we have another church in Secunderabad. And it's growing. It's a nice ministry. It's growing. It's a full gospel ministry. It's well grounded in the Word of God. And I would like to show you another promo, a small video on the Bible studies or the Menorah Bible School that we have. It's called the in a short form, we call it as MBS. It's not MBBS. MBBS is a doctorate, but this is a doctorate in medicine. But this is MBS. That's called Menorah Bible School. Let's have a look at that video. Amen. And that's what God is doing through our lives. We're trying to bring in the Word of God into India as much as possible. We're trying to help a lot of people understand the beauty of God's Word and help them to experience who Christ is and what the Holy Spirit can do in their lives. I quickly go through a small slide on India. The reason I'm doing this is because I'm not used to these small time gaps that I have, about 15 minutes. So, but I'm trying to do my best. Oh, am I running out of time? Okay, I'm running out. I'll just run through the slide about India. India is a unique place. It's an extremely unique place. And I really invite each one of you to turn around and make your time available to India in the Bible school there that we're starting up. And I trust that you will actually enjoy it, because I had my own hesitation about India, because coming out of India and settling down in Dubai for over 20 years, and then God leading me back to India, I really said no. I remember talking to God, I said no. I just came from there, let me not go back to India. Take me somewhere else. I like to go, but not to India, because I know the mystery of India, to a certain extent, it's very difficult. And so thankfully, I obeyed God. Thankfully, yeah. And I think India is being blessed directly and very nicely by God, because there have been so many issues in India that I did not want to deal with. But God actually took me back there for a very specific purpose. And I think it's opened its way for a lot of work. And we invite Zion to be there. And because Zion has got a quality, we were searching for the right connection for the last 10 years or so. And last 5 years, we've been really concentrating on getting the right approach to the whole work that we're doing. And we narrowed down on Zion because of many good contacts. One was Lloyd D'Souza, one is Pastor Swaroop, who's here, and Pastor David Wallace coming down and sitting and talking to us, and Pastor Paul Karam, Pastor Dan Karam. All of them have contributed to my interest in Zion. And finally, I came to conclude that Zion has got the HHR. I don't know if you understand what a HHR is. It's Zion concentrates on holiness, on humility, and on righteousness. It's amazing. In these times, it's the biggest necessity. And India, many people have come to India and done some amazing work, but somehow they have brought in some dilution that India does not need. And somehow they've thought the handouts will help them in the ministry. But I think all India needs is only the Word, nothing else. And I can assure you the Word can change the ashes that you see into beauty, the sorrow that you hear about into great joy, and the mourning that somehow you sympathize with. And many ministries sympathize with the mourning, but the Word can change it to dancing. That's the Word of God. So please come to India. We just want your Word, the Word of God. Amen. So God bless you. I think I've run out of time. Thank you.